The World is One Place. That's not only the title of a new anthology of poetry about Native Americans and the Middle East, but it also sums up the viewpoint of Bookmark Press editor Ben Furnish.
Particularly in the United States, the wider culture, we suffer a feeling of estrangement, and that the Middle East is often seen as hostile. It's often seen strictly in political terms. But how can we see it in human terms? And Native writers are in a position to speak with particular poignance to both American and Middle Eastern audiences and to be a kind of bridge between them, and I hope for wider understanding.
Discover how Ben Furnish collaborated with Cherokee co-editors Diane Glancy and Linda Rodriguez to create The World is One Place, Native American Poets Visit the Middle East. You'll also hear some of the poetry from this special project, supported in part by an award from the National Endowment for the Arts, on the web at arts.gov. This is New Letters on the Air, a production of New Letters Magazine at the University of Missouri, Kansas City. I'm Angela Elam, and I'm in the KCUR studio with the three people who have put together this anthology called The World is One Place, Native American Poets Visit the Middle East. I have Diane Glancy, Linda Rodriguez, and Ben Furnish. The book is published by Bookmark Press, which is part of the New Letters literary operation, publishing
empire.
Our empire. Ben, you have a great introduction to The World is One Place, where the spark for this anthology started. Do you want to tell us that story?
We were thinking about Linda Rodriguez and I. We talk from time to time.
Oh, I should also add that they're married.
And there's a lot of interest in the Middle East in Native American writers. There were a large number of Native poets who had visited the Middle East, not simply as tourists, but really seriously visited there as artists, where they spent significant time with people sharing their work. And so we were ticking off the names of people, and the list kept getting longer, and I kept thinking, as an inveterate editor, there must be a book here. And we were thinking specifically about Joy Harjo when she went to Israel for an appearance there. She confronted a significant amount of criticism on the part of some other Native activists in the United States who felt that Israel should be culturally, boycotted. In fact, the Native American Studies Association had voted in favor of a program of boycotting Israel culturally. And yet, few have been as outspoken as a human rights activist as Joy has been. But it got us to thinking further about that interaction between Native writers and the Middle East. It's significant. It needs to be honored, it needs to be recognized, and it needs to be celebrated, not only for its own intrinsic value, but because of what it could offer, perhaps as a bridge for both the wider American culture and the world of the Middle East.
You left out the part of first seeing the cycle of poems that Diane wrote. I mean, isn't that...
And writing the NEA grant,
which
was all his idea and all his accomplishment.
Yeah. So I think initially, when you began this book, Diane, you were going to be the sole editor of it. Mm-hmm. Talk a little bit about the beginning with you and Ben, the conversation, and then how Linda was folded into all this.
Well, I saw Ben at AWP in Seattle probably 4 years ago, maybe five. The Associated Writing Programs, it's an annual conference for colleges that teach writing.
Now called the Association of Writers and Writing Programs.
And Ben had mentioned his idea, and I said, Ben, I don't think we could get enough people. I'm not sure this would work. I don't know. And he just kept talking, just like he did, and pretty soon I thought, this might fly after all. And he rattled off the countries. Can you do that again, Ben?
We define the Middle East broadly to include the Arab world, Israel, Turkey, Iran, even as far east as Afghanistan, as far west as Morocco.
And the more he talked and the more I listened, I got very interested in this. In 1994, I had actually been to Syria and Jordan as an Arts America speaker for the United States Information Agency when it was still in operation. And that had stayed with me. Once you're in a place, when you leave, it goes with you. I felt very much at home in Syria talking to those people. There was something about a similarity in native history. How can you go across the world and feel at home or talk with people who were going through some of the same struggles? There were similarities to native history. I'm reading from the foreword. The takeover of one by another, the loss of a place and a way of life. And even back in 1994, as I talked to students visiting universities, I felt that longing for freedom. I felt that longing for ownership of homeland. There was just a lot that we had in common. And then I left with my poems that I put away in a drawer. And then when the Civil War started in 2011, I got them out, and there is that second edition to the first group of poems that I had written. I was very involved in what Ben was saying, and I knew many of the writers that we came up with. And then I said, oh, it might be too political, it won't work, on. And he was positive and I was negative, and he finally pulled me around the same way, and we were on the way and then wrote this grant. And I saw what a big anthology it was and how much work it was. So then we met at my house several times, and Linda was always there. And finally I said, you know, you're a co-editor in this. And she said, oh, no, you did the work. No, you did the work. So it was always this back and forth of how are we going to do this? And finally it fell into place. Ben is the father, I guess you would say, of the project, and Linda and I are co-editors. In fact, I think she did more work than I did.
That's interesting. Now, both you and Linda have Native background.
Yes.
And so maybe we should describe a little bit of that.
My mother was English and German. My father was part Cherokee.
And my mother is English and Scotch and German, and my father was part Cherokee.
And you both have some roots in Oklahoma, we should
very
say.
Definitely.
Yes.
Now,
you know, one of the things that I love that you all did with this book is just a little bit that starts the entire book. And Diane, it's a very short piece, The Whole of What Story, mm-hmm. at the very beginning. Do you want to read that?
The Whole of What Story, and that's W-H-O-L-E. For a moment there was air to talk of issues, to share the human fabric. In that brief space, the U.S. spent its money to send writers to different countries who talked of America, who said what it was before the military sent the whole of the story, and how the softer words are shoveled under, and what missiles of language follow.
The Whole of What Story by Diane Glancy, part of the new anthology called The World is One Place, Native American Poets Visit the Middle East. You're listening to New Letters on the Air.
I wrote this poem in 1994 about how the missiles of language would follow. The invasion came after that. So
I like that little bit because it sort of sets us up for the journey that you take. Your visit in 1994 and, you know, the thought that something can be accomplished with words. I love mm-hmm. this, that people with literary backgrounds were invited over. Can you talk a little bit about that?
Yes, I visited mainly universities and writers groups. And you walk in and the students are looking at you. And here you are, this stranger. I got asked such interesting questions. Are you afraid to go out of your house at night because America has a reputation of a place of violence in foreign countries? Or maybe it's the propaganda. They tell them, what about the violence in America? Everybody is rich there. And so I read my ordinary poems, ordinary language, out of what my life was like. And there would be a melting. There would be sort of a camaraderie. There was a nice response to it. I remember very fondly many of the students, they would come up to the desk afterwards and we would speak. Many of them did speak English. And the attaché was there with me, and they would ask, wasn't I afraid to speak honestly of America with him sitting there? Wouldn't I be in trouble? You know, because they were so used to being dominated by the government and no freedom to speak. And how could I do that with him? Because he could tell the government what I was saying. You know, I was free to criticize mildly, you know, America and the treatment of the Native American. And I did have that freedom, which they did not. But you saw that longing even then. And when the uprising in 2011, I wasn't surprised at all because I had seen the seeds of it then. They were wanting that. They just did not know what it would cost them. And I think some of them would say, if I had to do it over again, I may not have supported the uprising because it's cost them their homes, their lives, their families.
Yeah, everything about it.
But I mean, it is so important, that talking, the talking to one another. It's the writers who should talk and not the politicians.
Well, let's talk a little bit about the ordering of The World as One Place. Who was the main person to put it in its order? Ben, was that you or Linda, or did you all just play together?
We all worked on that together. We would meet, and we sat around, and we decided on the three sections, which poems went in which.
Talk about how it's divided, the three sections.
Well, we decided the poems fit into three categories, place, people, and spirit. And Diane had, in her small collection of poems that we started with, she had poems that fit in each of those categories. And so we decided her poems in each of those categories would come in at the close of each category and be a thread that carried through.
And we also knew that the working notes were an important part. And I envisioned them all at the back together. And it was Ben who decided to have it, you know, right up there with the poems. And I thought that worked out so well.
Oh, my gosh. It's really wonderful.
So informative.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. And then in the back of the book, we have more about the poets. And that part is really good, too, that there's this division. Yeah, I thought the work notes before each group of poems was a good idea, Ben.
We didn't know exactly what we were going to get when we put out calls for people to submit work. And so we did confront the task of looking at what was in front of us and how did it order itself. And Linda and Diane were really good, I think, at that point, at taking a look and saying, okay, here's what we can do to put those in order that's going to be meaningful.
Well, Necessary Departures is at the end of the first section, Place. And so, Diane, why don't you read that for us?
You know, this poem was written while O.J. Simpson trial was going on, and back in the hotel, I would see little glimpses of the white car down the highway. So the verdict, that was the...
Oh, that's the verdict that it's referring to.
Necessary Departures. You clunk your boot in the updust of religion. There is no lightness here. The forces rally in their own divided land. It's hard to straddle the old argument. Cain with the crops of his field, Abel with the lamb, as he must have been instructed. What floats inland as the only boat, militant, avenging? You see them in the shadows. You hear them on the screen, grounding a different ground than yours to stand on. Your indivisibility divided into units, not the justice you knew when you heard the verdict, as we move toward the holy wars at the headwaters of the world.
That was Necessary Departures by Diane Glancy, part of the new anthology called The World is One Place, Native American Poets Visit the Middle East. You're listening to New Letters on the Air. Is there anything you'd like to add about this anthology?
The cover, the lovely cover.
Oh, yes.
Oh, yes.
It's beautiful beadwork done by one of our contributors who contributed a poem, but who is also nationally known for her native beadwork.
And, is that and Kim Shuck?
Kim Shuck, and okay. She actually is a visiting artist with a number of museums in California and western part of the United States where she demonstrates doing native beadwork.
Oh, that's neat.
And it's beadwork she did when she visited Petra, the place she wrote her poems about.
And she loves Petra.
Yes.
I mean, she says that in her poems. We have her reading at the 2016 AWP conference. New Letters magazine editor Robert Stewart went and recorded some of the writers to have their voices heard. And we'll hear a couple of those recordings now, beginning with the book's cover artist, Kim Shuck, who became San Francisco's 7th Poet Laureate in 2017. This poem is called Down the Seek. Spelled S-I-Q, it refers to a small crack in the mountain, and the city of Petra has two of them. One is over a kilometer long and has a channel that brought water into the heart of the city in Jordan. Here's Kim Shuck.
Down the Seek. Dushara does not sit in the chair they have carved for him, and some of the stones breathe in the wind they breathe, like the absent god. Does it matter who is witness? Orange kittens, they tell me the kittens are wild, roll and wrestle through the tourist goods at the top of the seek. We sit and have more tea, black with cardamom and cinnamon in the dark. The heat drains, and the kittens play with my bootlaces. shocking blue lizards scratch and rummage out of reach. Dushara is not in his chair on the cliff face, but we can hear the stones breathing with the catch and tempo of old things. The tea is good, and I pull a bag of almonds from my bag, offer them as part of our feast. Everyone takes at least one, and a sleepy kitten curls against my foot. We each take a cup of tea down the Roman road to the treasury, to the tombs lit with candles. There's music and more chairs for the invisible god. He must be busy. Does it matter how we witness? An olive tree shows where the water is, there in the marketplace. The guards sometimes sleep in the old well. The old well is cool.
Down the Seek by California Cherokee artist and poet Kim Shock, from the book The World is One Place, which features another visitor to Jordan. Leanne Howe served as a Fulbright Scholar there. A member of Oklahoma's Choctaw Nation, she now teaches at the University of Georgia in Athens.
Yes, Balad Asham. 1,000 years before arriving in Balad Asham, tribesmen had whispered over the sands, always late at night, inculcating each grain with a factual detail of the narrative. Often the plot intertwined. Other times the grains of sand refracted against one another to alter the telling of their magnificent conquests and elusive defeats, of how their ancient grandfathers had suffered their semen into the wombs of young women from the southern tip of Yemen to the interior of the Hejaz. And of those women they had loved truly, they must now once again die for.
Yes, Balad Asham, by poet, playwright, and prose writer Leanne Howe, winner of a 2015 Modern Language Association Award for her memoir, Chalk Talking on Other Realities. We heard more from her and Kim Shuck, along with other poets in the book, The World is One Place, in a previous New Letters on the Air show called Native American Poets Visit the Middle East. It's in our website archives at newletters.org. Now Bookmark Press editor Ben Furnish shares some of the challenges of putting together an anthology.
It is its own creature, just as a book is its own creature, and just as a magazine is its own entity, the anthology. It embodies some of the challenges of both of those, because you have not one single contributor, but a number, and a lot of tasks that one does once in producing a book, one does many times in producing an anthology, and it is dependent on everyone's participation and contribution. Even if one person slips behind, then the entire show is delayed.
Yeah, I can imagine. Because it's not just getting the work. People don't realize all the footwork involved in getting permissions and getting things together in that way.
Well, and so the challenges that people face in their lives. We had someone whose relative was in the Orlando shooting, and we have had people face really massive health challenges and losing
death of a father.
That can happen with any book, but the chances for that are multiplied.
But Ben has held it all together through it all. I remember even back in Seattle, as we were not arguing, but I was saying, how can we do this? And what will the title of such a collection be? And without even thinking, he said, The World is One Place. And
that
was another reason that I knew this was meant to be. Ben, when did you come up with that title?
One of my teachers once told me years ago, she said, something I don't want you to forget. Even if you forget all the lessons I'm teaching you, don't forget we all live in the same world.
Mm-hmm.
And don't start thinking that you live in a different world from other people, you'll get in trouble.
That kind of goes against the grain of what seems to be popular thought right now.
Yes.
You know? In this country, at least.
Yes.
Well, not just this country.
That's
Look
true.
At Brexit.
That's true.
Yeah.
Diane, why don't we have you finish up the reading of poetry with the last of your poems in the third section of the book called Spirit.
Girls Targeted in Taliban Gas Attack. And there is an epigraph. The pupils were lining up outside their classrooms for morning assembly when one girl suddenly collapsed unconscious. The Independent, London, May 13, 2009, Jerome Starkey. She was only little, said Gulchina, a 13-year-old student of the school who fell ill herself moments later. There were among 90 Afghan schoolgirls unconscious and vomiting, possibly victims of a gas poisoning attack on their school in Mahmud Raku village. It was the third attack against a girls' school in Afghanistan in as many weeks, raising fears that the Taliban are resorting to increasing vicious methods to terrorize young women out of education. Gulchina described the gas as smelling like a chemical known locally as melatonin, which farmers sometimes spread on fields to poison foraging birds. I would have driven there if I could, but the ocean is no place for driving. Just a little poison sprayed into the courtyard of a school. Why are they afraid if girls learn? Would it also make them destroyers of songbirds? Who are girls that want to learn? If meaning is in knowledge, then it must be something undesirable. But look at the marks of the letters they made, curled back as the foot of a bird in flight. Listen to the click, click of the cricket in the courtyard. See how the sound of it can be written, quiet as the ticking of a car bomb.
Girls Targeted in Taliban Gas Attack by Diane Glancy, included in The World is One Place, Native American Poets Visit the Middle East. You're listening today to New Letters on the Air as we celebrate this very special anthology. There are so many other threads through here, you know, dealing with, as you say, the land, but you think about water and the fact that so much of where Native Americans have been pushed in this country is in places where water is a big issue, and that's indeed what the big issue is in North Dakota with the
Dakota Access Pipeline.
Right, yes. Exactly. Mm-hmm. And the fact that, you know, it could endanger something that's so...
their only source of water.
Exactly. And Diane, in this book, you really draw some interesting parallels because your father had come up from Oklahoma and had worked in the meatpacking part of Kansas City, which is now no longer that. And you have this wonderful exploration of going back there. We see this in the book. You're thinking about the inhumanity that's occurred in Syria and, you know, the driving out of people along trails. And I couldn't help but flash to the Trail of Tears and the Navajo. What is the Navajo?
The Long Walk, Bosque Redondo.
The Long Walk, right, for the Navajo. And, I mean, just some of the parallels that you wouldn't think about, you wouldn't draw necessarily. I thought you did a really wonderful job of that.
The world is one place. After all, Kansas City, the old cattle drives, and Turkey and Syria and Jordan. The world is one place.
Yeah. Now, Linda Rodriguez, you have been on New Letters on the Air before, as has Diane Glancy, and you're a poet as well as a fiction writer. What made you decide not to contribute any poetry to this?
I have not been to the Middle East. And I hadn't written any poetry specifically about the Middle East, so I wasn't concerned with contributing poems to the book. I was just concerned with putting the book together. I wasn't going to have anything in it. And then we were all three at dinner one evening and talking about the anthology and about the fact that nobody had been overtly speaking in their work about the political situation over there. And I went off into kind of a rant about it. And Diane said, that's what we need. I want you to write that in an essay, and we'll put it at the end of the book.
I like it because it gives some historical perspective to some of the things that are happening.
Yes, and what I did was I tried to stay away from Israel and Palestine. I mentioned them in passing, of course, because you have to. But the Middle East is so much larger than Israel and Palestine. There are so many other countries, and they're all burning right now. And the United States played a large part in setting fire to all of them. And that's what I wanted to kind of talk about, because I think most Americans are not aware of that. I did a lot of research for this to make sure I had everything backed up, a lot of foreign policy journals and things, and actual State Department documents and everything. This is the actual situation. It's called Are Our Hands Clean?
And it's too long to read in our half-hour radio show, but why don't we have you read the ending for us? This is called Are Our Hands Clean? A Meditation on the Middle East and the United States.
No hands are clean in this country. What can we do then? Under such hopeless-seeming circumstances, following in the footsteps of our ancestors, we can refuse to give up the fight. We can continue to protest, to vote, to politically organize, and to write, using our voices to remind the United States and the world that there are real human beings under those bombs. Real families with vulnerable children and fragile elders at the other end of this country's support for oppressive regimes and violence in the region to increase the profits of a few corporations. This book, in many ways, attempts to show that humanity as witnessed through the perspectives of different individuals. And if it becomes clear that nothing we can do will change these destructive policies, if, like our ancestors, we face certain defeat, we can do what our ancestors did as they faced execution or walked the trail of tears. We can sing. Song has always been central to indigenous culture and is one aspect that is found in all of the more than 500 nations. We sing to pray because we believe the world was created to be harmonious and balanced, and we seek to bring it back into that harmony and balance. We sing to communicate with our Creator. We sing to heal and to celebrate. We sing to give honor to those who have traveled on before us. We sing to ask for their help in our own journey and to ask those whom we leave behind to remember us and what we tried to do. This book is our song.
Co-editor Linda Rodriguez, reading the end of her essay that concludes the book, The World is One Place, Native American Poets Visit the Middle East. We also heard from the other co-editor, Diane Glancy, who read some of her poems, and Ben Furnish, the editor of Bookmark Press, which published the book in 2017. Thanks to New Letters Magazine editor Robert Stewart for recording the poets Kim Schock and Leanne Howe at the 2016 AWP Conference, along with other poets in the book for the companion show called Native American Poets Visit the Middle East. You can find links to both shows and the book on our website, newletters.org. This project was supported in part by an award from the National Endowment for the Arts, on the web at arts.gov. By the way, we're hearing music by another poet featured in the anthology, The World is One Place. She was mentioned earlier as an inspiration, Joy Harjo. The author of 7 books of poetry, she's also an accomplished musician with 9 CDs. This is a title track from Red Dreams, A Trail Beyond Tears. New Letters on the Air is a production of New Letters Magazine at UMKC. Partial financial support comes from the Missouri Arts Council, a state agency. You can follow us on Facebook, Tumblr, and Twitter at New Letters Radio and find our free weekly podcast on iTunes or under the Ways to Listen tab at newletters.org. Today's show was produced with Danny Moran, Cassie Vaughn, Andrea Wall, Megan Schwindler, Blake Elizondo, and Jamie Walsh. I'm Angela Elam. Thanks for listening to New Letters on the Air.